You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast as we close out another week. It is Friday, May 4th, Star Wars Day, 2018. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. iTunes and Spotify are your two best options. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Relatively eventful end of a week for the Jets. They announced the release of Bryce Petty on Thursday, which is no great shock. I think we were all expecting it after the selection of Sam Darnold that put the Jets at 5 quarterbacks on their roster. Really the most you can bring to camp are 4, and even then I think you're kind of pushing it. You know, I think back to some of my days in training camp where I've been at training camp, and I remember 2 years ago I went in 2016, and the Jets had 4 quarterbacks in camp that year, and Christian Hackenberg was the number 4 guy, and I think in the 2 days I was there, he got 2 snaps during the team session, so you can't bring 5, and Petty was the most obvious guy to be cut. You know, he's getting up. He's not that young anymore. He's going to be 27 by the time the year starts, and already 3 years in the NFL and really not showing you much progress. You know, had a few good preseason games, but not much there, and so I think that one was obvious. Now the question is, will the Jets bring 4 quarterbacks to camp? I would not. I mean, I don't think Christian Hackenberg should be on this team. I don't see what the point of having him. It's not a big deal. I mean, we're talking about 190 roster spots, but if the question is how do you maximize those roster spots, I don't think a guy like Hackenberg really makes sense. We'll see what the Jets do, though. And this weekend is rookie minicamp, where all eyes will be on Sam Darnold, and Jets will also bring in some tryout players. They'll bring in some undrafted free agents will be there. The drafted players that will be there. There'll be a couple of guys you may recognize who were in training camp last year. So we'll hear plenty about that. And, you know, it's one of the funniest things about these rookie mini camps is the number one pick always get reports that the number one pick's playing great and everybody gets really pumped about it. And not that it's wrong to be pumped about your number one pick a week out. I mean, you should be pumped about Sam Darnold. But he's the number one. He's a first round draft pick going against guys who were either drafted lower in the first round, most of them who were undrafted. So yeah, he should be dominating. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what the reports have to say. It's one of probably the more overhyped weekends of the year, but it's the first time the rookies get to put on the uniform. So I'm sure it'll draw plenty of hype. And every now and then, one of the tryout guys they bring in makes enough of an impression to earn a contract and earn a spot in training camp. So I'm sure we'll hear plenty about it over the weekend. Now, we had enough good questions from yesterday's mailbag that we didn't get to. I think we can actually do another mailbag today. So I think that's what we'll do today. I think we'll do a second mailbag this week. And again, these are questions from the comments section of GangreneNation.com. And our first question deals with somewhat similar, but not totally similar to question we had yesterday about draft strategy. And the question is, do the Jets take the blue chip wide receiver? Do they take an edge guy? Or do they trade back next year like the Pats and make up for the lack of a second round pick? And I think, you know, to me, the most important priority now is finding the franchise left tackle. To me, that's the priority. I think that's what you have to do because you want to protect Sam Darnold's blind side. You know, you've invested so much in Sam Darnold. Now you got to protect him. You know, you got to protect him. So I think that's the priority. That said, I mean, it always depends on how the draft board matches up with your needs, who the best guy is. But I think priority should be on the offensive line. If there's an offensive line pick who's not there, and again, we're a year out, so lots can change. But yeah, I think I would be more inclined to trade down than anything else because I think you do want to recoup that second round pick. But again, it depends on how high you are in the first round. You know, what kind of year are the Jets going to have? Are you going to have a high enough pick that maybe a quarterback needy team like the Jets were this year, will trade up and give you a bunch of picks. And now that you got your quarterback, you're in a different spot than you were this year. This year, you had to trade up. You had to sacrifice picks. Now you're in a better spot. Now you have the luxury where you're going to be able to trade down and stockpile more picks for more pieces to build around Darnold. So at this point in time, if all things are equal, my preference is probably either franchise left tackle or trade down. I'd probably put franchise left tackle at the top of that list because that is one of the, I think there are three positions where you really can't find guys on the open market. And they're the, you know, the three real premium positions in the league. They're the positions teams value the most because if you have a good guy, you're locking him up. You're making sure he never hits the market. They're quarterback, they're edge rusher, and they're left tackle. And I think that's what the Jets have to be after. Now, the Jets are in, you know, not a terrible spot at left tackle because they do have a, at least a guy who's a credible stopgap there in Kelvin Beachum. But I think that's where my head is at as far as draft strategy going forward. Next question is about Sam Darnold. From all the pro comparisons to Darnold, Luck, Rodgers, Rivers, Romo, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Brett Favre, man, lots of comparisons. And Jets would be so lucky that he's all those guys rolled into one. But of all those pro comparisons, which one do you think is the most accurate? I'll tell you the guy he reminds me. The one I've been using is Romo. And there's one now. There's one big difference there is Darnold has kind of a wind-up with his delivery. Darnold does not have a great release at this point, and I think the Jets will work on that. I think they have to work on that a little bit. A little tweak that has to be done with his release. But the reason I say Romo is I think that there are lots of things that remind me of Romo. First of all, he's pretty mobile. He's, you know, he's pretty nimble on his feet. He's got playmaking ability. You know, he can make things happen when it's not, you know, he's a guy who can make things happen, extend plays. He's a playmaker, and he also has that negative part where there are points where you'll just look at him and he just tries to do too much and he'll just make the turnover that makes you facepalm. And you know what's funny is because it's such a fine line you have to ride to play like that. You can't do it too frequently. And a guy like Romo was pretty good at finding that medium, taking chances. Every now and then he'd have the interception that you just made you scratch your head, just made you know, frustrated as anything. But he didn't do it that frequently, and he made more plays than he made those mistakes. And you know, a lot of quarterbacks in this league, they're playmakers, but they're risk takers as well, and they don't find that happy medium, and they just take too many risks and they turn it over too much. Romo is not a guy, necessarily an Alex Smith kind of guy where he's never gonna take a chance, but he took calculated chances, I think, and that's what I see in Darnold. Where yeah, the turnover he's a bit of a gunslinger, he is, but even a lot of his interceptions, I didn't think he got fooled. A lot of the interceptions I saw, I recall from watching him live, it was just him kind of being a gunslinger, kind of trying to make too much happen. And it wasn't, I mean, I think he made more plays than he made mistakes. So that's the one I'd go with. Yeah, you're right. I mean, people compare him to a lot of different guys, but I think of him as, that's the one I like. That's the one I use. I think he's got a lot of Tony Romo in his game, both positive and negative, but I think much more positive than negative. I think the pluses outweigh the minuses when it comes to Darnold. Our next question is about the offensive line. It's often been said that everybody on the offensive line is a question mark. If you were a betting man, whom would you take the over and whom would you take the under in performing at a respectable level this coming season? You know the guy I'm going to take the over on, who I think, and I like this guy, and maybe I'm wrong on him, but I actually, the more I study this, the more I think about it, I like the Spencer Long sign. I think he's going to be better than people think. I think he's a solid guy. And now part of it's that he has a very low bar to clear, because to be better than Wesley Johnson last year is not going to take much. But I think he's a solid player. I think, you know, and I know it's a roll of the dice with the health, but it would not surprise me at all to see him put together a really good year for the Jets and help stabilize things on the offensive line a bit. So I think Spencer Long's the guy I'd take the over on of the five guys there. Who would I take the under on? I think I would go with James Carpenter. And the reason I say that is I think the perception of James Carpenter is a little bit better than the reality of James Carpenter, because he came in and had two good years with the Jets, but if you look at the entirety of his career, there's a lot of inconsistency. I think there's a lot of inconsistency. He's been a guy who's up and down, and I think that those first 2 years have people thinking he's better. He's been a more consistent player than he really is. You know, I've seen a lot of people think that it's a good bet he's going to return to form this year after a bad 2017, and I've seen a lot of people blame Wesley Johnson. And I'm not saying Wesley Johnson helped, but you know Wesley Johnson was the center for about half the year in 2016, and Carpenter had a good year, so you can't put it all on Wesley Johnson because Carpenter had success playing next to Wesley Johnson the year before. It's not like that was the first time he played next to Wesley Johnson. I just think Carpenter's kind of an inconsistent player, and he's been a pretty successful free agent signing. I would say that for the Jets in the grand scheme of things, but I don't think it's a lock he's returning to form. I mean, this is not. You know, if Nick Mangold had a bad year during his career, you'd expect him to bounce back to form because he's a high-level player almost every year. Carpenter, I'm not so convinced. And I don't like the scheme fit for Carpenter. I think you're going to see a lot of zone blocking, which means mobility is what you want, and that's not Carpenter's game. I'm mildly surprised he wasn't more of a contender to be a cap casualty. So I think Carpenter's the guy I'm taking the under on. I think, you know, you look at the other guys. Beecham, I think, is a solid, credible guy. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to destroy your quarterback playing left tackle. Not a great run blocker, though. Not an elite left tackle block. He's a stopgap. He's a guy who's going to be good enough for a year, you hope, to buy you some time to find a long-term answer. So I think I'm relatively high on Beecham. I'm not as high on the other two guys, I think. You know, Brian Winters has just not been a good player for most of his career. And I know he played banged, you know, all these reports are coming out that he played banged up last year. And, you know, that's nice. Yeah, that's good. And, you know, maybe returning healthy will be good. But, A, he's a guy who's constantly hurt. I mean, he's been suffered through injuries for much of his career. He's ended I think he's ended 3 of his 5 years on injured reserve. So this is a guy who's not exactly healthy. You know, you say he's coming back healthy. And also, you know, just, and not just football, but the more I watch sports, the more I feel like, you know, if you suit up, you can't come back. I'm not saying Winters did this, but I'm saying if a guy suits up, you can't go back after the fact and throw the he was hurt excuse. And I've kind of, this is a new philosophy I've kind of developed over the last 2 years. But if you're healthy enough to suit up, then you should be healthy enough to play effectively. If you're not healthy enough to play effectively, then don't suit up. So I'm not that high on Winters. And Brandon Schell, I think, is a question mark. I don't really know what to get out of him. I think the perception, Schell's a guy I think the perception of is maybe a little too high, because I think there are a lot of question marks about whether he's a starting caliber right tackle in this league. I think the idea is that because he's a fifth round pick and because he's played a lot, that makes that, you know, people have this idea that he's a good starter at this point. I'm not sold that he's not. I think he's a question mark. Now, a question mark doesn't necessarily mean bad. It means question mark. It means could be good, could be bad. So we'll see. But if you're asking me one guy, so I think the guys I'd probably be higher on than most people would be Spencer Long and Kelvin Beecham, and then the other three I'd probably be lower on, and Carpenter would probably be my choice for guy who I think is the under. If you have to give me one guy I have to take as the under, I'm probably going Carpenter. Our next question, how well does Darnold fit in Bates' system? Well, I think in some ways he fits very well. The way he fits very well is they like to the Bates, and I'm assuming Bates is running an offense that's kind of based on some of the stuff Mike Shanahan does, because Bates worked under Shanahan. He's run offenses like that. One thing they really like to do is get the quarterback on the move, and that's a big part of Darnold's game. And I've written a couple things on gangrenenation.com about some of the things we might look for if Bates is installing a system with Mike Shanahan. Kind of principles. One of them is you base it on the zone blocking game, and others that you base it on play action. And I'm probably going to write an article in the next week or so about another principle, which is the bootleg, which I think, you know, Darnold could be very effective running because he's got the mobility. I think in other areas he's more of a work in progress. I think, you know, at USC there's a perception that this was essentially an NFL playbook, which it really wasn't. But I mean, I saw Darnold make pretty good reads there. I saw him make a lot of plays, but it's not as close. It's not the NFL playbook you think it is. So I think there's going to be an adjustment period there. He doesn't have as many snaps. He wasn't a guy who took a ton of snaps under center, so that's going to be an adjustment. And in a Shanahan-type offense, they tend to have the guy under center a little more often than you generally see, although even in the NFL these days, it's a shotgun league. So not being under center isn't as big of a deal. That's going to be an adjustment. And again, I go back to the throwing motion. I think there's wasted motion in his throwing motion. I think, you know, he drops the ball too much as he's throwing it. And if you're going to get the ball out quickly, that can be an issue that can give defenders an extra split second to break on the ball. So I think they're going to have to adjust that a little. I think they're going to have to work with him on that. And I don't think it's going to be a enormous. I don't think that's the type of thing that's really going to mess him up if you work on him with that. I see that as something that is relatively fixable. When you look at certain mechanical issues, to me, that's one that's fixable. You can do without really messing him up. So I think that there's some things that he has to work on, but you know, his playmaking ability works in any offense, and I think I'm very impressed with the way he processes the game, some of the plays he makes. So I think there are certain things he has to work. I don't think he's necessarily weak in any aspect of it. I think there are certain things he's going to have to get down, like more snaps from under center than he's used to, you know, and a few mechanical things. But I think generally speaking, he fits pretty well in other areas, and especially on when this offense likes to get its quarterbacks on the move. There's an element of that, and I think he'll do quite well on that. And our last question, just how creative was Bowles' exotic blitz scheme in 2015 when he hopefully this coming season had good cover corners? Like this coming season had good cover corners. How does it compare to the 2009-2010 Rex? Well, I mean, it doesn't compare to 2009-2010 Rex. I mean, especially those first couple weeks in 2009. I mean, the rest of the league had no idea what the Jets were doing the early Rex days. I mean, the way they were sending the defensive backs on blitzes, on these overloads. I mean, they were just creating constantly blown blocking assignments, constant confusion up front. So it wasn't as creative. But Bowles does have a reputation for being a pretty creative schemer. Now, we haven't seen that a whole lot here with the Jets. That's more based on Arizona, some of the things he did, you know, some of the packages he ran, or even some of the personnel groupings he ran, where, you know, Deion Buchanan was a safety they drafted that they kind of played in a linebacker role. So Bowles has a reputation for being creative. We haven't seen that, though, really, with the Jets. I got to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed, because that was one of the selling points of Bowles, was that he was such a great defensive schemer, and I don't think we've seen it to this point, so I don't know. And definitely, I mean, look, I don't know that we'll ever see a defense with the Jets that was quite as creative, that caused the offense's problems as we saw in early 2009, so that was something to behold. The other teams had no idea what the Jets were doing. I mean, they're constantly blowing blocking assignments. They had no idea who was coming on these blitzes when the Jets were showing these fronts. So, you know, I'm not sure we can necessarily ever compare it to that. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes and Spotify, two best choices, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week.